Hallelujah. Mike shared some things this morning. That stuff just excites me because we see there's so much happening and so much going on. I saw where, you know, Kelsey Grammer, where he was on a thing, and they had it on Fox News, and he said, because I guess he's getting some flack about some things, but he said he would not, he said, I refuse to apologize, he said, concerning Jesus. He said, I refuse to apologize for that. There, we need to understand that there's a move of God. It's reaching into everywhere. And what happens if people don't notice it? They don't notice when people are looking. And this is one of the things that you have. People are looking for a revival. And I just want to say this, a revival of, that's going to be a thing that's convenient. And it's not. It's not. Revival is never convenient. It's going to demand a people, and it's going to be, when revival starts, things get greater than people can handle. And if there's anything Americans don't like, is something they can't organize. They will shut it down if they can't organize it. They will. Americans will shut it down if they can't organize. We got to get over this thing. It's not, you can't organize this thing. There's moves of God going on and things happening. And it's going to be greater than man can handle. But what do we do? Do we try to bring it within the bounds that we like? All the time in revivals and stuff started where people always come along. You know, out in Asbury College, a revival started. Crowds are coming bigger than they can handle. So what they did, they shut it down. Yeah. They shut it down because, see, a school has exams. And the exams are more important. They pray for a move of God and it comes. And college education is more important than a move of God. Now, don't think that. What if God moves and you just want to keep doing what you're doing? Uh-huh. Yeah. Same thing. God isn't going to be convenient that he'll just move on the weekends when it's convenient for you. Oh, yeah. A lot of Christians are... We're going to have to decide what we want to do. We might have to trust God in our livelihood. Who would ever think of anything ever happening like that? See, it's one thing, and it is. And it might move among people that we don't like. You know, instead of joining in, there's one thing is that when I came in the kingdom, I just joined in wherever the move of God was going on. You know, if God was moving, I was in it. It didn't matter which group or whoever. If God's moving in it, you know, get over to what God is doing instead of, you know, waiting for God to move it wherever I want it. that might shut it off from ever coming there. That may very well do it. It may keep it from coming. But Mike was talking about a move of God. I want to just tell you a little bit about Ken Kasich. I was talking with Ken. He just came back. Him and his wife came back from Estonia. But God moves supernaturally. He was down in Florida there at Tampa Rodney Howard Brown's meetings down there. Rodney Howard Brown really helped his family with coming back, his oldest daughter and her husband getting back into the country here. It's just today, if you're illegal, you can come in with no problem. And that's literally true. I want you to understand that's literally true. If you want to come into America illegally, it's the easiest thing in the world. They'll just help you, give you money, do all kind of things for you. But these people are American citizens and having a tough time getting back in the country. It's insane. But anyhow, Rodney Howard Brown's ministry stepped in, found out about this. They didn't say anything to Rodney, but Rodney got in contact with his daughter, which we had as a little. She was one of those little girls that we watched in when we were out at Rhema in the nursery. Got a hold of her and said he said, I want you and your whole family to come down to Tampa. He said, I want to see you folks. And he paid for them and down and stuff. But anyhow, they were down there with that. Then they're back home and stuff. But anyhow, there were some things going on. And Ken and his wife were down with Rodney Howard Brown on some things. And anyhow, they were down there. And Rodney Howard Brown called out Ken and dug Ken up. Because Rodney, for years, has had a heart for Estonia. And his one associate there who was in there had been in Estonia for numbers of times and over long periods of time, was in and out of Estonia. And so Rodney Howard Brown called up Ken and his wife, and he said, you need to leave and go to Estonia. You need to leave and go. He said, God wants to do something now. He wants to do something now. So you might have plans. They had a choice of following that or just not following that. You know, you're going to stop everything else and just leave and go. And so they decided, they didn't even go back home. They decided to leave from where they were. They're going to leave. They said, well, fly back home and then fly back and, you know, fly back to Florida and then fly out to Estonia. So they said, we're going to leave from here. Now, this is an absolutely phenomenal thing because Rodney Howard Brown bought for, now, the oldest daughter, she wasn't going. The one daughter that was with them was here. Okay, so anyhow, he paid for flying the three of them over there, and he said he was going to fly them. So he got them tickets, and they found that the tickets were big business class. It cost $24,000 to fly business class for the three of them over. Rodney Howard Brown paid for it, and he gave them each $5,000 for expenses. Wow. See, he's serious about what he's doing. He's serious about what he's doing. Ken said, this just blew my mind. But Ken said, when we got there, he said, the power of God, he said, fell never like it. Even he said, we had moves of God there. But he said, not like this. He said, the power of God was just incredible. He said, in the meetings. He said, especially through the laying on of hands. He said, was absolutely powerful. See, we need to get back to those things. We've left the basics and power of the word, because too much of teaching, and what I've said over the years, too much of the teaching on the laying on of hands is all this point of contact stuff, and knock that junk off. It's about transmission, transferring something from one to another. That's what it is. It ain't a point of contact. Like they talk about, they act like, well, this is just what is laid on you. Yeah, you know. And, no, it's about transmitting something from you. You can't transmit to somebody something you ain't got. Do you know that? Do you know what you got? See, people don't think about it. We don't think about it. We have the same spirit that raised Jesus from the dead. It says, quicken our mortal bodies. We have the same spirit that raised Jesus from the dead in us. And see, we don't do these things like we should. But anyhow, he said, it was absolutely a phenomenal time. I was talking with him. He said, move of God. Well, we talked about this fact because the Lord told me back, it's got to be about 2 years ago. When they were planning on moving back to the States, because they'd been back here for like 15 or 16 months, they'd been back in the States. But anyhow, the Lord told me to tell him, because he was concerned about leaving. And, you know, with the church, and he was, you know, trying to get everything ready. And I told him, I said, the Lord said to me, there's going to be a move of God. You got to leave. There's going to be a move start. I said, it's going to be in Estonia. And I said, the Lord told me, they're going to carry it into Russia. And so he went over there. See, and God, God can send him to do something. See, we get in our minds. See, to us it's confusion. Well, why didn't God just let him stay there? Because it might require some faith. See, when you get into your logic, you usually kill faith. You kill it. See, why would God send it back and he had to spend all that money going back over? See, that's the average Christian. Well, there's a lot of poor people could have used that money. Yeah, those poor people don't like God at all. And you're just ready to run out and give it to them. Then. You know what? That money is worth a revival. Or is it not? See, we have to decide. We have this religious thinking here that is in America that's killing revival. Thank God there's people, though, that know better. But the church is killing revival in the way that they think. Because the church in America has become this place where we're going to be God to the people, and we're going to take care of them, and they're going to come and worship us. They're going to come to church because you're so darn wonderful. They're going to come for Jesus. They don't need to because he ain't there. It's wonderful me. They're going to come to church for lunch. You know, they're going to come to church for this. They're going to come. But Jesus ain't why they're coming to church. This move of God is about Jesus. It ain't about hot dogs and hamburgers. It's about Jesus. Say, we want to jump in this thing? I do with both feet. We want people to come because Jesus. Hallelujah. You know, I'm a big believer in John the Baptist said, we must decrease that he might increase. We got to get the limelight off ourselves. Get the limelight on Jesus. This move of God's about Jesus. Hallelujah. He's coming to the forefront. And among many Christians, they don't like talking about Jesus. Mm-hmm. We can talk about... See, I learned this when I got saved in Reese Candy Company. We had a lot of people and they claimed to be Christians. And you'd always talk to them about Christians. They'd always talk about God. And I'd just say to them, well, what God are you talking about? Every religion got a God. When you talk about God, you just made a general statement about something. That's just a general statement. You got God. You know, they'd say, well, I believe in God. I said, every Muslim, every Hindu, every Buddhist believes in God. I said, and if they don't change religions, they're going to be in hell. And you believing in God, you say you believe in God. I said, nobody gets saved believing in God. You know how many people look at me sort of stupid? Churchgoers, they look at you dumb. I'm going to heaven because of Jesus. We preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. We don't preach the gospel of God. The gospel of God is preached today in many churches. And that's how it's got all messed up and weird and everything. It's gospel of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. We're revival. That's what we want. Hallelujah. In due time. We need to understand, and we talked about this, understanding this time that we're in. People need to see some things about this. It's just like understanding. See, there's a move of God going. This should change your prayer life. If this don't change, if you're still praying like you're trying to have revival, then you missed it. You're missing it. We're not trying to have revival. God is moving. Now, we begin to pray in line with what he's doing. See, when Jesus came to Israel, we talked about He was out ministering to people, and he sent the 12 out, he sent the 70 out, and he sent them out to minister to people. And he said, hey, pray for the Lord of harvest to send laborers in the harvest. It's harvest time. We're not praying for God to start a harvest. It is harvest time. So we're praying, God, we need more harvester. Mike just told me about Mario Marilla. He needs more. He's going to go to what, Bakersfield? California, where he held the revivals during COVID and drove them all crazy out there because people wanted God. And it'll happen again because he preaches Jesus and deliverance. He doesn't preach. Jesus will save you, and the church has 10 12-step programs on different things for you. You know, we have all these programs that try to help you that you'll stay and, you know, in this program for the rest of your life trying to stay away from sin. No, he's preaching deliverance. He has you said he had 2,000 workers, you know, to help. He said they did enough. They can't get enough workers. That's just like God. You can't get enough work. Why? God will move so big, you're going to, you know what you're going to be like? Just like Gideon. God has you down to 300. Why? Because he ain't going to glorify you out of none of this. You start getting pats on the back, and the next thing you know, you'll be in sin, and you and the devil will be hanging out with each other constantly. This isn't about you. It isn't about me. It's about Jesus. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Well, see, there's a move of God. And that's when the move starts, what do we pray? Jesus said, pray for the Lord of harvest. Lord, we need more harvesters. Hallelujah. Start sending people. Can you say, here am I, Lord, send me. Or here am I, Lord, send him. You might say, well, I'm not trained. Well, get over yourself. Are you that backslid that you don't know nothing about the Bible? You can't help. I don't know what you've been doing coming here. You've been wasting your time. Well, let's be honest about this thing. And another thing, it's not about training. Revivals break out, and it's amazing who God uses in anointings to do stuff, and it's a phenomenal. It is. And see, to sit around and try to fake all the wisdom you have, think about the anointing of God. The anointing, you know, I don't care how much wisdom you have, you ain't got the anointing. Best to keep your mouth shut. Because we'll just do our own thing. We want God's hand on us, and that's the big thing. God, you send laborers. Get your hand on me. Don't just, you know, send. I'm big on this. I don't believe in going on callings. I believe going on sent. That's what God did with me, and that's what we did with Paul. Paul, God said, God found me faithful, put me in the ministry. He put him in the ministry. Paul was called the day when he got saved. He was called. God told him. The Spirit, God, Jesus appeared to him and told him what he was going to do. Did he go right away? No. He said he found me faithful. You know what? Paul went to hide. He went into Arabia. Can you imagine that? Went into Arabia. See, we think Paul's ministry just started off because people don't read the Bible. They don't pay no attention. God hauled him off somewhere and got him in a position where he could use him. Not by Paul's great wisdom. Paul was a Pharisee. He could quote. He was taught and trained. He could quote the first five books of the Bible. There ain't one of us can first probably quote the first chapter of Genesis. he could quote the Pentateuch. They were trained in that way. But he didn't get to go in the ministry because he could quote the Pentateuch. Hallelujah. God found him faithful. He got to the point where he listened to God and God sent him in the ministry. And that's what the Lord said to me. I had been faithful. He told me you were faithful. And you were faithful with other people's things. He said, I'm going to put you into your ministry now. I'm going to do it to you. That's what you want. You want to be found faithful, not bright. Faithful. Hallelujah. If you are faithful, God can teach you. Hallelujah. He can always teach the faithful. And so, He'll do it. Well, we want to look at today because I'm going to show you an area here. One of the things that we talk about, the book of Acts, there was a day of Pentecost took place, and when that the outpouring of the Spirit of God took place, Peter got up and gave his first message that he preached. And the Lord had told them when he came here, Lord, before he left, he said, you guys wait down in Jerusalem till you get the power from on high. He didn't say, go down, wait in Jerusalem till you get saved. He didn't say that, but that's what the majority of the church, probably a good 95% of the church believes that. He didn't say that because we don't read words. We follow traditions. Tradition tells us that the church, though it didn't. He said, the point of going to Jerusalem is you don't go minister till you got power. You need power. Well, that power is not natural power. They didn't go up into a weight room, up in the upper weight room, and they worked out there till they got some power. They were up there for 120 days working out up there and that stuff, eating, organic chicken, just getting themselves all pumped, and now we're ready! No, they needed power. They needed spiritual power. In other words, they needed God's hand. Now, God's hand, I'm sure it was different than they thought it would come. You know, they were there, and I'm sure they weren't praying for fire to fall on their heads or anything like that. But God moved, and Peter got up, and, you know, on the other side before Peter got saved, I mean, he was a guy that said some dumb things, you know. He rebuked Jesus when Jesus said he was going to die. And he said, you know it ain't going to happen to you. It's like, and then he called him the Messiah. It's like, whew, man, I don't know. See, you ever been that dumb? We won't ask you what it was, but you probably were. We were all did some dummies like that. We all did some dumb stuff. But anyhow, he gets up and preaches a sermon. 3,000 people get saved. Now, you know, you need to understand it. That was the power of God. See, it is God who draws men to Jesus. This is why we need the power. It doesn't come through great intellectual preaching. It's the power of the anointing of God. That's what it is. Men, God's hand gives, God draws people. And so it's our cooperation with God's power. We cooperate. Hallelujah. It's good to know things. God can reveal things through you. But God can reveal things through you you didn't know. In Scripture, there's sometimes the things of Scripture, I just wonder where on earth something comes up out of me, and I wonder where on earth did that one come from? I don't remember that. But the Holy Spirit's, and all of a sudden you know something. You know things. And so Peter got up and he preached this wonderful sermon. Well, then what happened was in the fourth chapter, Peter and him get into trouble because of a miracle. And so you need to understand, in these days, you're going to have the same people. Some people ain't going to like miracles. It's just like Mike talked about the movie. And I remember back in the days when the hippies started coming in the kingdom, the outcry of Christian churches and that stuff, you know. Because Jesus will save you if you get a haircut. Jesus will save you. You see, all that stuff was going on and being preached because even in age, I come to Christ. See, we were told this stuff. See, I was a drunk, you know. If you want to come to Christ, you need to quit drinking. Hey, I said to the Lord, if I have to quit drinking to come to you, it ain't ever happening. Now, I'm a sinner. The Spirit of God spoke to me as a sinner and said, who told you that? He didn't say it with a cute voice. He said, oh, they just made a mistake. He's tired of this rot. These Christians that are full of religion who think they got something. They ain't nothing but Pharisees. They're keeping people out of the kingdom. That's what Jesus told the Pharisees. He said, you're making worse children of hell. That's what religion does. It's salvation by works. Nobody gets saved under salvation by works. I don't do that. No one comes to Christ through that. And see, God wants to move. So there's a miracle that takes place. Peter and John are down there in the temple. They walk in. Here's this lame guy. Now, to me, it's always been a phenomenal thing about this lame guy, because this lame guy has been there. Jesus has been in and out of that temple. He went in there and ran people out. In fact, the scripture tells this guy's daily laid at the gate. Beautiful. Daily laid there. Jesus goes in and out of that place. Jesus knocks tables over there. And then Jesus holds a healing service in there. And this guy, why? He's over there making money at the gate. He didn't get healed. He had no faith at all to get healed. He wouldn't believe in what Jesus is doing. It's happening right there in the temple. It's right there in the temple court. We enter in the place. The temple court was a place where Jews and Gentiles could be there. They would go into there, and different teachers would go into those places and sit there, and people would gather and listen to them teach. You get the Pharisees and the scribes come out. They would do their religious teaching and that kind of stuff. Jesus come in and kicked their tables over and did their stuff and then moved up. But he says he went there and healed. And he healed the sick. And here this guy, he's there every day, it says. I don't think the Bible lied. But we find Peter and John walk in, and this guy's there, and he's asking for money. See, this is not, you need to, this is a God-initiated thing and not man. You need to understand this. See, we're looking for man-initiated revival. There'll never be one. Men-initiated revival. Hey, men have initiated things they've called revivals. And all of it's failed. It's all gone. It always goes to nothing. It always does. They'll come along with an idea and start doing it. People get all excited. Today, if you offer something new, people jump right on it right away. It's just something new. It's something more fun to do. Because I don't like the Bible because it's too repetitious. We got to have something else. Give me something else. So, anyhow, they walk in there, and here's this guy at the gate, beautiful. And he's asking for alms. Now, do you think Peter all the... Hey, let's heal this guy. What do you think? Hey, John, should we get this dude? Hey, let's... Seems the church thinks that kind of stuff happens. It don't happen. This is the working of God. And so, God works, the guy gets healed. Well, of course, everybody loves it. And see, the scribes and the Pharisees thought they got rid of Jesus. And they didn't. This is getting ugly now. You need to understand persecution today. If anything in America, there's loads of people who want to shut the church down in America today. You need to know what we're in and under. And I just want to say this. Stop fighting this junk. Stop it. Your job is not to fight the people that don't want Jesus. That's not your job. In the Word, you don't see them, do they? They ain't fighting those people. They don't to hear what the next person says in their criticism about Christianity. Well, that things will really get quiet on that kind of stuff. Because people, that's not what you do. That's not the job of the church. You're going to have those things. Jesus said, if you live godly in Christ Jesus, you're going to suffer persecution. Get over yourself. Quit whining because they don't like you. You get it, or even the Christians don't like you. This is good preaching. What it is. Hallelujah. Now I want to show you something. What happened? I'm going to just tell the story because we can't read down through all of it. But what happens, the scribes and Pharisees and the high priest, they're not tickled because they're preaching this. And this happened in the name of Jesus. I just want to tell you this. You could get some guy off the wall thing and come along and somebody sort of had something happen to them. And he did it under his name. They'd accept it in a minute. Even today. But see, the persecution is not about you. It's about Jesus. It is the Antichrist spirit. Hates Jesus. You just happen to be the only target that people can find here because they can't see Jesus. And you like him, and so they dislike you. That's just the way that things run today. I mean, you dislike Jesus, you're not going to like Christians. I mean, that's the way it is. And so we find it. Well, they didn't like it. And you know what? They weren't over the big thing that guy got healed. It was the name that it got healed in. They didn't tell them to quit healing people. They told them to quit preaching that name. Yeah. Why? They understood the power of that name. The devil was scared of it, and his people are scared of it. They find it, you know, terrifying. You know, I saw a thing where a woman and have to do with the education thing and all that, said they should not allow, just this was this week, it was just, they shouldn't allow Christians on school boards because they're crazy. They'll do crazy, you know, the way they believe is crazy. We shouldn't allow, if you're a Christian. I mean, people are openly saying that. Say, does that bother you? No, I tell the devil he comes. If you get so worked up about the devil, he owns you. It don't scare me what the devil does. I can cast him out. Devil's people. We got to get over this, the devil's people. We're dealing with the devil's people, and we're trying to deal them with by you know, answering back to what they do. You know, get online and say something dumb back to them. Let's keep the fight going between each other, because why? We're doing nothing but fighting flesh and blood. Don't realize we're dealing with demonic powers. They're doing stuff. And let's get out of this game. I want to show you what they did. See, Peter and John left. And in Acts, the fourth chapter, I want to read to you in Acts, the fourth chapter, starting at verse 23, and it says, "And being let go," they let them go and said, "Don't you do this no more." He said, "Being let go," they went to their own companions and reported all that the chief priests and elders had said to them. It didn't say, and when they left, they found a lawyer, and they were going to fight this thing. Now, I want you to understand this. In the Jewish, they had a right to actually bring legal action. They could. Even by Jewish law, not only by Roman, under Jewish law. Under Jewish law, they could have, but they didn't. Under Jewish law, they had a right, some rights and stuff to speak and to say things and that stuff. Well, so they went back to cheap, but where did they go to? They went to their companions. They didn't go out and try to find somebody else to talk to. They didn't go and look for the news media and see who would publish the thing for them and who would do that. They didn't do that. They went back to their companions. They went back to Christians. They went back to people who believe like they do. What a crazy thing to do. Oh, no. We got these firms today, and they'll fight for you, and they'll take it to the Supreme Court. Well, I'm going to tell you, these people took it to a Supreme Court higher. A higher court. And so we want to see what they did, because this is a very important thing, what they did. Now, this is what it says. So they went back and it said, they went back to those and they said, we reported that all the chief priests and the elders had said to them. And it said, so when they heard that, they raised their voice to God with one accord and said, "Oh God, what are we going to do? Lord, do you see it? It's such a mess. Oh, Lord God, please take us now." Why, you guys don't have that in your Bible? I got a new translation. Now, when they heard them, they raised their voice to God with one accord and said, "Lord, you're God who made heaven and earth. And the sea, and all that's in it. You see this turn on to them? What do they do? Hold it. Men down here are doing this, but you're God. You made this thing. Men didn't make it. See, what do they do? They're automatically looking above. You see, they're not, it's not about what, Lord, you said all this stuff, but you did all this stuff. Here you are. We're down here. You made all this. Do you hear these guys down here? People are only God's creations. You know, it's like one of those things. He can either keep you here or blow you away. It's like, first of all, they recognize who's God. They're talking about who is God. They didn't immediately go to the problem. They said, well, God, you're God. He said, well, now listen to what he said. Now they're going to make a quote, and you need to understand, this is one thing you need to learn to do. Because you need to pray according to the time you're in. Many people are praying out of season. They're praying from a season that they're not in. They're trying to get God to understand your season. Understand the time you're in, what God is doing, and get into that season about your prayer. They did this, because I want to see, we're looking at quotes they made here out of two scripture. He said, now, they made this statement. They said, who by the mouth of your servant David have said, in other words, this is a quote from the Psalms from David. And it says, why did the nations rage and the people plot vain things? He said, the kings of the earth took their stand and the rulers were gathered together against the Lord and against his Christ. Now that is a quote from the second psalm. The second psalm was a quote to Israel, but it really wasn't about Israel in their time. It was about the Messiah. Now the second psalm is about the Messiah. It's not about it. They realized the time that they pulled a scripture and made statement from a scripture that dealt with when the Messiah comes. They're praying about, they found scripture about their time. They knew their time. They knew what was going on. They knew scripture, but they're talking to God from his word about when the Messiah comes. And they're seeing this. What happened? Their leaders are throwing a fit. Their leaders are doing, see, we have this today. We can look down, we could say this psalm today. Why do the nations rage and the people plot vain things? The kings of the earth took their stand. The rulers were gathered together against the Lord and against his Christ. Now let's go to that psalm once. Because you know, we're going to go over there. First, I didn't want to go through this thing in the whole psalm, but I just felt that I was supposed to do this. Because we want to look at, they're referencing from, why are they referencing from this? Why did they make this reference? They knew the time they were in there saying, hey, here we go. Okay, the leaders are fighting against God because of the Messiah. This is all about the Messiah. This is what it's from. The things that we're dealing with today is all about the Messiah. It's, you get the rest of it out of your mind. All this stuff with all the pronouns and people, you know, thinking or anything you can think of under the sun. All of this is about Jesus. It's about the Messiah. The devil's people are hooked up with devils who are Antichrist. They're Antichrist. That's what it is. See, we're seeing the Antichrist. You need, and let me just tell you this. You know, they're talking about technology today, and like, you know, especially over in China. I was reading a thing about China and their technology of what they're coming up with. China is really on the bit of technology to be able to control everybody. Knowing everything that's going on. Our government is in a back seat, and I thought our government was, you know, all over us and, you know, checking on us on everything. Well, they like to, but Chinese are figuring out how to do it, actually do it. And that's part of the Antichrist system. See, you're not going to be able to buy and sell if you aren't in the system. Oh, I wonder where that came from. That was a new thought, wasn't it? You know, it happened 2,000 years ago. It was written in a book. That day's a-coming. The Antichrist ain't going to be God. He's not going to know everything that's going on. But technology of man in the earth is going to put people under it. Just like we're seeing today. There's companies in America that want to require their employees to have chips. Companies are trying to do that. See, these things are coming. Say, you worried about it? No, I'm a Christian. Say, you worried about the buying and selling things? If Jesus can't take care of me, then he needs to get another job. Because I ain't going to follow a guy that can't handle the same. See, I ain't gonna lose my joy in what they're doing. They can make all their stuff and do their stuff. It don't bother me. Hallelujah, because Jesus is still Lord. Hallelujah. And they mess around and He'll take me. And then they're going to have to live with themselves. And they will actually have a guy called the Antichrist. And he'll be definitely possessed by the Antichrist. And they're going to have a great time down here. But I want you to see this in this psalm. The psalm starts off, why do the nations rage and the people plot a vain thing? Why do they? It says, the kings of the earth set themselves and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against His anointed saints. See, this is talking about the anointed saints. The Lord's anointing is the Messiah. That's who He's talking about. Against the Lord's anointed. You see, David was a king, and they called him God's anointed, but he wasn't a Messiah. This is speaking about the Messiah. Now let's look at here is what happens, what they go on and say. Here we go. Let us break their bonds in pieces and cast away their cords from us. See, this is today is what we're seeing going on in the world. People look at Christianity as a bondage. They want to cast off the bonds. We want to live by the flesh as much as we can. We want to cast off this bonds. We don't want to be held back. This Messiah come, this righteousness junk, we don't want none of that. We want to live to do whatever we want. See, it's a bondage. I said many Christians even think, you know, there's just too much bondage in Christians think it anymore. You know, God loves us so we can do all kinds of stuff. We can live by the flesh and do things. Let's cast off the bonds, you know. Cast these things off so we can follow whatever the flesh wants to do. Now listen to what he says. He who sits in the heavens shall what? Whine and cry. Oh, what's happening down there? He said he shall laugh. The Lord shall hold them in derision. Derision don't mean relaxed and everything running real good. Derision is the idea that they're going to really, it's going to be a mess. God's going to keep them in a place really where they're going to be under great bondage from the standpoint of what they're doing. They're really facing the penalty of what they do. This is what He's going to do. Now, I want you to see this because the Lord wanted me to bring this up. What is the Lord doing? What's God doing? This is during the time of the Messiah. What's He doing? It said He's laughing. He's laughing at them. What have you been whining about lately? Why don't you get like the Bible says? If God's laughing, you need to get laughing. When you look at those people, they steal your joy. It's because you ain't hooked up with Jesus. The Word says God's laughing. Hallelujah. God's laughing. Are you worried about these people? They're doing their thing. Well, I'll tell you what. I'm hooked up with the thing. Jesus Christ. And God is looking. The one who sits on the throne is looking down here with these people and what they're doing and laughing. Ain't nothing but a bunch of little babies running around thinking they're so smart. See, we in a church, we can't play the game that they're doing. Hallelujah. If God's a laughing, then it would be smart if Ed got a little bit of laughing going on. Hallelujah. Said and said, oh, did you see what so-and-so said? And say, did you hear what so-and-so said? That was a great joke. Shall I tell you what it is? We'll all have a laugh about it. Should we tell what that crazy guy said? Oh, God's up there slapping his knee laughing. God's not moved by this stuff. He says, then He shall speak to them in His what? Just, oh, what? You know, actually that word, he says anger, but that actual word is wrath. It's wrath. That actual word, the Greek, is wrath. So you know what? They better watch themselves. They don't want to get God talking. He's going to what? He's going to speak to them in His wrath and distress them in His deep pleasure, in His deep displeasure. Yet I have set my king on my holy hill of Zion. This is God's, what God said. He said, see, Jesus is set on the holy hill of Zion. You know, there's one thing is you don't do with God. You don't mess with Jesus. You need to learn it. You never disrespect Jesus. Number one, Jesus said that He'd forgive you of anything, but He said the Holy Spirit won't. See, the Holy Spirit he likes Jesus an awful lot. You don't talk bad about Jesus, you know. You know, it's always like with me. You know, you can call me anything in the book, but don't come and call to talk to me bad about my wife. There's certain things you just don't do. See, you don't go to God about Jesus. You don't knock Jesus. Jesus stepped in this earth. God, who laid down everything he had and everything to come down here to be a man. The disrespect. This is why the wrath of God is going to be poured out on the unbeliever. Because what they're doing to Jesus. That's why we're not supposed to fight and be fighting about them against them. Those poor dumb people ain't got a clue what's on the horizon for them. When you talk about what the lake of fire is going to be, people have no clue what is going to be take place in the lake of fire for eternity with people. Because of the mockery of Jesus. We don't talk about this in the church world today. You don't mess with Jesus. Because you're going to have God's wrath and displeasure. I don't think I want that. I think we're going to stay away from it. Hallelujah. I'm going to stay with him when he's laughing. He said, I will declare the decree. The Lord has said to me, you are my son. Today I've begotten thee. See, that was where it was said. See, this is talking the Messiah. This is talking about Jesus. See, we're looking at it from the side where the Messiah already came. This was telling them what's going to happen. You see, they understood this. And in other words, they had a revelation of this. We find that in the fourth chapter of Acts. Because that's why they brought up this thing. Is going, okay, we're living in the middle of this. Messiah's here. These people are all upset. All this stuff going on. Now listen to what he said. Ask of me and I'll give you the nations for your inheritance and the ends of the earth for your possession. You shall break them with a rod of iron. You shall dash them to pieces like a potsherd. See, this here points, this is the Messiah in his return when he sets up his millennial reign. He's going to rule with a rod of iron. These nations doing this stuff today, they don't realize what's coming. Jesus is going to come and rule with a rod of iron. They're doing all the. See, that's why we shouldn't be fighting with them. They're going on to doom. We shouldn't be laughing about this stuff from their standpoint of, you know, fighting with them and trying to. We got to stop this stuff. These people need a saving. They need to hear more about Jesus. Not, let's just say less so we don't anger them so much. Don't talk too much of it. Don't say too much. You know. I remember. I worked at Reese's and I'd witness about Jesus. I'd tell people, you know. Well, they knew something happened to me, and I'd tell them what it was. And, you know, it didn't always make people happy. There was this woman who worked in the department, and I was in. She'd always come around to me, and she lived like hell. Slept around and everything, married, but slept around and did things. She'd always come to me and ask me to pray certain things about her. She'd ask me to pray for her. She'd always come and do this. One day she walked up and prayed. I just got fed up with her that because she'd asked me to pray. She said, would you pray for me about such and such? She said, yeah. And I grabbed a hold of her hand. I stood right there in front of everybody and started praying for her. Well, she got all mad. She told the boss. My boss called me. He said, you can't do that in front of people. I said, well, who's going to stop me? I said, we have rules. He said, well, you know, they don't allow that here. I said, they have rules here. I said, you don't have gambling. And I said, you're part of the gambling in here. I said, they football tickets they sell, you're part of it. I said, they tell you you aren't supposed to cuss and swear. I said, you do it all the time. You all doing all the time doing all kind of things. I said, why don't we go out the office together and we'll talk about this? Never heard another thing about me. I said, will you clean up your act? I said, you let me know. Well, they never did. They didn't know what to think of somebody who didn't care about it. You know, if they'd have said you're fired, I'd have said, praise God, God will get me a good job. I don't care. I want to tell people about Jesus. See, we have the day of the silence. Well, they didn't want to get rid of me because I'm a good worker. He'd have had to kept all those bums, that bum that I prayed for, he'd have kept her, does nothing. He'd have somebody to work. That guy's in supervision, and he was up the ladder pretty good. And the last I heard, he has a menial job in the place. Don't sound like he got promoted. No, he went down. His boss, who was over him, ended up being, he was a superintendent over the entire Kit Kat stuff, and ended up being put in security. Not in charge. Yeah, they didn't like Jesus much. Hallelujah! I like him a lot. See, I believe in Jesus taking care of you. And see, you need to get over it. See, we can't, if anything in these days, we can't lose our joy. We can't act like God's little and he's not going to move. And I hear preachers out here, well, you know, and you know, America's done and all that stuff. I don't care if America's done. God's not. But see, you know, there's one thing the Lord showed me this morning. See, most preachers got political. You know, they got all this stuff and talking about the Constitution all the time. And all America this, America that. Knock it off. We're preaching Jesus, not the Constitution of the United States. We're preaching Jesus. I believe I'm a loyal to the country. I do have a loyalty to it. I mean, I went in this military and went off to war for it. Got all these people talking Constitution, and they ain't ever been discomfort in their life at all to give up to do anything. Well, I'm going to tell you what, I'll get discomforted for Jesus. If things happen, it will. But we're not going to quit preaching the name. And we can't quit laughing. God's looking down here today, and he's looking at that, and it says he's laughing. And see, we need to keep ourselves over there in this thing. Hey, God's not nervous. Why should we be? There's no reason that we're nervous. He said, listen to this. This is what Jesus is going to do. You shall break them with a rod of iron. You shall dash them to pieces like a potter's vessel. Woo, sound like a great time, don't they? Now therefore be wise, O kings. Be instructed, you judges of the earth. Serve the Lord with fear and rejoice with trembling. Kiss the Son, lest he be angry and you perish in the way when his wrath is kindled but a little. Only a little. All that's going to happen because his wrath's kindled a little. He said, now listen to this. Blessed are those who put their trust in him. Woo! That's us. See, we can laugh and trust in him. We're blessed. You see, all that stuff God said against those who are going against him. See, he didn't say, well, and my people, you know, whine a lot, and it's going to be really, oh, you're going to have a hard time. It's going to be bad. It's going to be... He didn't say none of that, did he? We're blessed. Laughed and blessed. So I want you to see this. These people are praying in line. These dumb people think they're blessed. They said, God, you're laughing at these guys. They over there said, quit preaching Jesus. And they're there, God, hey, we remember the second Psalm. You're laughing. And they ain't going to win against Jesus. That's going pretty good, you know? You see, they're praying in line with the time. They're talking to God in line with the time. They understood the scripture of their time. God, this is what you said about this time period. When the Messiah comes, here's what you said. You're laughing and you're going to take care of these people. You know, in 70 AD, Jerusalem fell. It's destroyed. Did God come across all right? God take care of the church? The church didn't cease to exist, did it? But Jerusalem did. And then dumb Rome decided they were going to persecute the church. How did the Roman Empire go after that? Nobody, no nation has ever persecuted the church and stood. It's never happened. Oh, they'll do it. They might do it for a while. But you ain't going to do it. It ain't going to connect. No nation can stand. Why? Because there's one sitting on the throne and they're his people. And God will not let that alone. That's why you don't have... You can smile. Hallelujah. You can smile. Hallelujah. God will take care of things. Get that on you. See, they understood that. So let's go on to look at... What do these people then go on and pray then after that? In Acts, the 4th chapter, we find now it says... So here's what the people did. And here's one of the things the Lord said to me we need to do in the church today. These are something we need to do. See, understand the time. See, this is a really powerful prayer that they prayed here. What they're asked, what they're speaking, because first of all, they come in line with God. This is what you said about this. So now, what do we need to do? Well, here the Lord shows us something. See, this stuff is put in here for us. It's for us to understand. This is the church. He goes on to say here, Now, Lord, look at their threats. And grant to us a place to hide, a bunker that we can get into and have a lot of food and hide till you get back. I can see when you don't have a translation either. Don't you? You don't have, what do you got, Mike? Hey, folks, that stuff's being preached. Oh, the bunker stuff's being preached in churches, you know. Oh, on TV, you know. Make sure you get all your dried food. So when you go through the tribulation, you will have plenty of food to eat. Because the devil's going to get you. Well, they said that stuff lasts for 20 years. It won't last for 20 minutes when the devil takes over. Those people will need to eat that immediately. When the Antichrist takes over, definitely everybody's going to be, ain't going to be much here if you've read the book of what it gets like. If the earth don't get pretty, it don't sound like crops are doing well, it don't seem like there's much fish in the ocean, things don't seem good at all. I think before Jesus comes back and sets up the kingdom, those rations will be gone. They ain't going to be here. Hallelujah. Oh my God. And what will be, glory to what we're going, oh my God. You can't get a smile on your face about that, I tell you. We're going to have to get the paddles out and give you a shock, I tell you. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Well, he goes on, Lord, he said, grant to your servants this and this, that with all boldness they may speak your word. Now, they didn't want to tone it down. Did they want to tone it down? They said, quit preaching Jesus. And these guys are saying, Lord, we want to be bolder about it. You know why they're doing this? Because they're people just like you and me. They see what's going on around them. You know what? They have the fear because, hey, the leaders want to put them away. The leaders want to do this. And they ain't sitting around, hey, Lord, get us a lawyer. We'll send this court. We'll preach Jesus when the law says it's okay, we do. When it finally gets to the Supreme Court and the Supreme Court says, yes, you can, then we're going to preach it. See, the Church of America is legalist. And they believe 1,000 times greater in the Constitution than they do the Bible. I'm sick of hearing them talk, we got to get back to the Constitution. If you don't get back to Jesus, that thing means nothing. Hasn't it proved? Does the Constitution, they're all the time going against the Constitution, the courts do. What happens? Nothing. And these people are still fighting constitutional battles. I gave up on that a long time ago. I'm in the Jesus battle. You bring Jesus to the forefront. Jesus is the one. He's the answer to this stuff. Pagan people are going to keep doing pagan stuff. So we need to change direction. Now listen how he says this, because you'll understand. They said, now look, grant to your servants that with all boldness they may speak your word. And then it says, but do it by stretching out your hand to heal, and that signs and wonders may be done through the name of your holy servant, Jesus. Now what's this? There's two. This boldness is tied together with God doing something. You see, this is why we want signs and wonders. It brings great boldness. See, signs and wonders. See, on the day of Pentecost, there were signs. Those signs give people, they give boldness. When signs and stuff, see, boldness just, we know this, you can pray for boldness, but you want to pray for God to do something. God, boldness isn't something, well, God just make me bold. No, signs, they understood here. See, they want fire. Signs and wonders. Now, the first thing they mentioned this is healing. That's the number one thing that God is going to do. Many people want all kinds of things, but God's always led me in the pattern of Jesus' ministry. Jesus did different miracles and stuff, but healing was the major thing. That's the major thing. Healing. That's what they prayed first, didn't they? You know, it's good to look at what the Word says first instead of looking at what I want first. Let's look at the Word says. See, we need to pray for healing. See, I'm finding this because, you know, healing, miracles, you'll never see a revival that breaks out concerning things like, you know, with demonstrations and signs that healing isn't in the forefront of the signs and things. Healing, all people getting healed. People getting delivered. It ends up in the forefront of it. And it's like during the reading after, you know, the people, the ministers of the healing revivals in the 1950s, they called that the dinner. The healing was the dinner bell. Was a dinner bell that God rang for the sinner. Was a dinner bell. It changes people. Look, we need healing. America, if anything, they're full of this. They're full of sin and sickness. That's America. America is filled with sin and sickness. They will be the first things to Jesus. Jesus wants healed. What's it? He shows them they heal, and men put away their sin. They call on the name of the Lord. We're trying to come up, you know, with something, to some great thing. Maybe we can get some great theologian to stand up and give a message that'll just knock your socks off. And, you know, I heard this in a testimony from a listener, a minister, and he talked about a thing. He said, this guy was told a story. It was about a youth camp. He worked at a youth camp, and he said, the one group that they had a group come in the youth camp in the summertime, and he said, they had this one kid who was part of the group in the camp, and he had cerebral palsy, you know, and he walked, couldn't talk right, and all these kids would make fun of him, you know. Oh, I've watched that stuff, you know. It's as much among Christian kids as they always stick with who's cool, you know. You don't hang out with a person that ain't cool. You don't do that. You won't be Mr. or Mrs. Popularity, and you know they won't give you a good place on the college agenda there. And I said, you don't do that stuff. And anyhow, this kid, he said he watched what was going on. He felt he ought to step in. He was going to say something. He thought, I kept getting him to let this thing alone. These kids would just keep they'd make fun of him. They'd do things, and so they would have in the morning they would have, you know, a get together. And then they'd go in and have, you know, like a devotion thing. And they would have one of the kids would get up to give something. Well, he was chosen to get up and give something, this kid. And they said, he has struggled walking up, and he has struggled time of talking, but he's called to do it. And they were taught, this has to do with revival. He's talking about how revivals break out. Sometimes the most things you'd never even think of, revivals break. He said, this boy walked up and he said, all these others were snickering and stuff because he, you know, walking and stuff, and he can't talk. And he said, he gets up there and he's even struggling to get started talking. And then he said this. All he said was this. He said, Jesus loves me and I love him. And the guy said, and the Spirit of God fell on the place, and all these kids have been making fun of him, are wailing and crying. See, God moved in what he did. See, they're not the ones that get picked today. Today, God can only move through the smart. God can only move through the guy, the position. And he said, I never seen anything like it in my life. He said, for the rest of that camp, he said, we had revival. He said, God turned everything upside down. With the voice, see, that kid, he didn't, he could have went up there and complained about how they're making fun of him. He didn't. He just walked up and told them. This is what he knew, that Jesus loved him and he loved Jesus. Oh, we have fought back. We have fought back and fought back and fought back, and all the time doing it, keeping God out, keeping God out, keeping God out. Send up the least, God. Whatever. Hallelujah. Send up the least. But they ask God, God, you reach forth your hand. Lord, we want boldness, but we want you to do this because it'll make you bold. See, we want demonstrations of the Spirit. We want manifestations of the Spirit. But see, they saw, they said, don't preach anymore in that name. See, they said, God, we want to preach in that name. See, you want boldness. Not boldness to complain, but boldness to preach the name of Jesus. See, if anything we need, the Lord spoke to me about this, and he said the church needs to pray these things today for boldness to speak the word. Boldness to speak the word. Boldness. Not to get shyer. These people say, no, Christians shouldn't be on this. Just be bolder to talk about Jesus. You want a move of God? Just keep doing, you won't have one doing what the church does. You can't have one. I've said this, and really, from back in the 1980s, when they started all this stuff and people getting lawyers and fighting and trying to get their free speech and all that kind of stuff. What do you do if you live in a country and you can't have it? What do you live in a dictator and they say you can't do it? You just go hide, don't preach Jesus? I mean, China's church dwarfs American church. It dwarfs it. The church in China, they've oppressed it and oppressed it and it keeps growing. Why? The people won't shut up. They put them in prison, they won't stop. They get the people in prison saved. See, America is a culture of comfort. And it's in America, it's been in America, the comfort, You're going to walk by faith and you're going to tiptoe through the tulips. You're going to play a ukulele, sing nice little songs. It's going to be real cute. No, they're saying things. We need to become more boisterous, not in retaliation, but to the gospel of Jesus Christ and speaking the word. So Billy Graham said something that was very wise. A guy came to him and said, I don't know if I could give my life for Jesus. And Billy said to him, if you don't live for Jesus, you'll never give your life for him. I decided the night that I got born again, and I told the Lord, I'll give my life to Him. I will die for this Jesus that saved me. I am willing. I think I'm just trying to get to heaven. But I'm serious. I am just serious. But see, you got to turn around. What kind of commitment? See, people talk about committing to Christ. Yeah, I'll commit, to as long as things run well. And what is the commitment? It's my life. It's my life. I'm willing to die for this gospel. I just, what God has done for me, I don't know. Nobody's ever done for me what He did. My parents could never change my life the way God did. There wasn't one person could change my life the way God did. Nobody came close on the boat. Nobody could have restored me the way He did. There's nobody. There's nobody could have made me, love my wife and my family, like he did. Nobody could have done that. No. I tried all the drugs and the drinking to try to get out there into La La Land, to this place where we tiptoe to the tulips, but it never got there. We never tiptoe through the tulips. You have overdoses. They're really fun. They're exciting. They're exciting. You have all this stuff. People are trying to go to this utopia. There ain't one here. Now there is one in heaven. Hallelujah. There is a place that's far beyond utopia. It's perfection. Oh, my God. And our Father's waiting for us there. Your daddy is waiting for you there. This earth means that much? No. I'll tell you what. Jesus told Kenneth Hagin in September 1950, he said, Christians talk about going to heaven. He said, they need to invite people to go along with them. Hallelujah. We need to invite people. We're leaving, folks. Get over yourself. Quit trying to have a wonderful kingdom here. We're leaving. We're down here. We are literally sojourners. That's what we are. You and I are. This is not our home. This is not our place. People are fighting to control this place. I'm not fighting to control this place. We're inviting folks because we're leaving. You need to understand the time you're in. See, back in the 90s, they got this preaching, the church is going to take over everything in the earth. See, that was nothing but the devil moving in that stuff, trying to get people to make the earth their home. And it worked. Man, Christians cling on to the stuff of this world. Both tied, their knuckles are white holding on to this thing. Holding on to their own life. Their knuckles are white. I don't want anything to happen to me. Say, I do. I want to be caught up with Jesus. I want that to happen. I'm going to turn my knuckles white hanging on to Him. See, we need to get there. See, we need to pray. We need a move of God for boldness. Now, listen to what it says. When their prayer was ended, the place where they were violently moved. Oh no, I'm reading from that. This is, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit. And it says they spoke the word of God with boldness. So they must have had faith in that prayer. See, God responds to faith. So they were speaking in line with what God wanted to do. The Lord said, we need to pray. See, we find out what God is showing to pray during the time. And this is what He's doing. He's showing us what to do in the time that we're in. There's due season for things, and we don't. You know, people are praying for things that are out of season. I said, no, there's a move of God going right now. It's going to get stepped up more and more. And I just want to tell you this. There'll be Christians who enter in the move, and there's going to be Christians who are not going to enter in the move. Jesus said, many of my people will not be ready to meet me at my return. And you know why? Go read that prophecy. And the prophecy was the whole thing. This vision, where the whole thing was from this, is they're going to turn away from the move of the Spirit. They ain't going to like it. It's going to make them uncomfortable. See, God's moves really takes us out of control. We're not in control. People don't like that. We're discomforted. We like to keep a certain... And everybody has that. Your flesh will always want to, step over there. Kenneth Hagin taught, I listen to him teach it. He used to talk about the Spirit of God come on him so powerful. He'd get over in the Spirit. He said he'd actually get afraid that he wasn't going to be able to get back. He said your flesh starts getting... You step into there, you get too far. And he said your flesh starts to react because, like, you get over there, you're out of control. See, we don't know about that. Most Christians know very little about the anointing. He said, I get over there, and he said, the anointing come on me. And he said, I talked to the Lord about it. Oh, what's going on? What's going on? Because you get out there, it becomes less and less of you. It's like we had a prayer meeting one time here in Lebanon. It was right before we did the Full Gospel Businessmen did the thing with that prayer meeting we had. And what was his name? The evangelist, Barry Ryan, was there. Barry Ryan. Well, things for me got a little out of control. First of all, we were praying for the move of God because we wanted to move of God in this thing we were going to do. And God led us to do it. And God praying, and I got over there, and a spirit of prayer fell. Sometimes you just pray, and you might pray and have anointing, but a spirit of prayer fell on me. And I would have thought, I just started crying and crying and crying. I couldn't quit crying. What was it? I don't know. It came on me, and I cried and cried. But then... the Spirit of the Lord came on me, the power of God came on me, and I stood up and prophesied for about 20 minutes. I come up, and I just remember it taking place. This strong power was on me. It was like electric flowing from the top of my head down through my body. It hurt. It was actually painful. It was like a power of God. And I'm talking, and I'm listening to this voice talk, and I'm thinking, what on earth is this? Because it wasn't like coming from me. I'm standing there talking, and Kenneth Hagin talked about those things. He said, it seems like there's a voice behind you talking, and you're listening to it. And that's the way this voice is talking. It's using my voice, but it's talking, but I'm waiting to hear what it's going to say, because I don't know. It's not coming out of my consciousness. It's not out of anything to do. And it's power. And, this power's on you, and, it is so powerful. I don't know what it actually hurts. When I quit prophesying, I walked out the side door of the building because I had to get outside. I was in pain. My hand, it was like electric. It's like I stuck my hand in a socket and you couldn't get it out. And I didn't know what to. I'm like, what do you do with this? It's one of the things that is. I don't know why I had the sense to do that, because see, some people dissipate the anointing. I want you to understand this. God don't anoint you for a show. I ain't make you no big deal. It's to glorify Jesus. And I went outside. I couldn't stand. I sat down. And in my mind, I was just sitting there. I said, God, what on earth is this? And what do I do with this? He anointed me. Well, what for? there's this anointing, but I'm asking, you know, could you tone it down some? I can't. Oh, man, this is like, it's painful. It really is. It's painful. I didn't ever hear people talk about that. But I've heard other ministers talk about that stuff where they get over and the power of God gets so strong, you got to try to get it off of you. Good, dear God, you can't stand it. It ain't you. And so the Lord said, I want you to go back inside and I want you to lay hands on the people. That's what I want you to do. I thought it was funny because I never got to lay hands on anybody. Because all I did was walk in front of people and they'd fall. I just go to walk up to them and, you know, never quite get to them. They just fall. Well, see, it wasn't me. If I could do that, I can do that all the time. It ain't you. If the anointing ain't there, you can't do it. Now, I saw this in the charismatic move. The people got over and that stuff, and they'd fall when there wasn't no anointing there. People think, it was, you know, if you got hands laid on you, you fall down and look spiritual. There's no thing of spirituality of falling over. If God knocks you down, that's another thing. But it's no spirituality that if you fall or don't fall. I've laid hands on people for healing that God totally healed, and I've laid hands on people who have not, who have fell down and got nothing. And see, there's things that you know sometimes, and you need to just go, this one thing you got to learn about is doing this, is pay attention. This is not about you, it's about people. You ever think? Actually, Mike was the first guy that came up in front of me when I came in. When I said, I went, this is the strangest thing to me because I came back in the side door and I said, the Lord said I was supposed to lay hands on people. Now, I knew this was God. Everybody ran up front. I mean, they didn't walk up front. Everybody ran up front. Mike was already sitting up front. He stood up. But all these people, they just ran up there. I thought, what on earth? I thought, did Jesus show up or something? What's going on? Mike was the first one. He didn't have a catcher behind him. And I walked in front of him. This is a hardwood floor. Was in this building. He whacked right down. God didn't kill him. He didn't get a concussion. Do you know why they started having catchers? Because people weren't falling under the power. And then they were trying to sue. They got hurt when he fell. Now, I saw something wonderful there. Because what I did is I walked down through. Mike was the first one. I walked up in front of him and I went over to go to the next person and they fell and he fell. And then I walked up in front of this one lady and I walked up in front of her. And when I did, I could sort of feel like the power was like pulling back into me. I thought, just straight. And the Lord said, just go on. She ain't going to receive nothing. See, you know, it was funny. She was the only person that wasn't touched. Everybody else. But anyhow, I went down through maybe about 5 or 6 people. I went down through. And see, this why, Lord, you know, I don't know why he does things the way he does. I have no idea. I was standing, I walked up in front of this person, and then one fell. And then I looked down the row, and the Lord said to me, hurry up and walk down in front of them. He said, the anointing is going to lift. So all I did was walk down through. I just walked down through, and as I walked, they all fell. Everybody fell. But I watched, you know, like, you know, watch and pray. Watch when you minister. See what goes. It astounded me. Those people would fall, and I was blown away by this. They would fall, and their back would hit the floor, and their heads would stop about that far off the floor. And then their head would slowly go down. I mean, they were getting knocked out because they just laid there. But I thought, dear Lord, God, he's amazing. This is one thing. See, we need to learn to get over the areas of spirit. We don't try to fall. You're not proving to anybody. You know. I like these ministers to push people. Well, they got to push them. Ain't got no anointing. Got to push them. Got to make like you got something. Why'd you do that? I had a minister one time tried to push me, and I pushed his hand off of me. It's like, don't push me. That ain't the power of God. See, it's a show. We ain't having a show. There's one show that's going to go on. It's going to be bigger than Las Vegas shows. It's going to be Jesus is going to show up and do what man can't do. Jesus do it. You know, just like Mario Murillo, people getting delivered that could not be set up by any program. You need to understand this. When you watch this on TV and you hear about the government programs for the drug addict and that stuff, and that kind of thing, you know how many people actually get help from those programs? See, I worked in Lebanon County Prison. They would send prisoners to the program. They have less than 5% of people ever get off of drugs on these programs. You know what they consider a success? If you go there for 60 days to the program, and then you get out of the program, and then you don't take drugs for 30 days, they say you're cured. Yet almost everybody goes back on drugs again. I know it for a fact, because while I worked at Lebanon County Prison, everybody who was released into those programs ended up back in prison. And the church preaches 12-step programs. That's what they're doing! We got to preach deliverance. I was so thankful I had deliverance preacher, and it delivered a drunk. It delivered him. It didn't put me in bondage again to a program. Whom the Son sets free is free indeed. See, when people come with problems, do you ever just tell them, a Christian? Say, do you know you are? They're coming, I need help, I got this problem. Well, first thing you need to know is you're free of that problem. Do you know that? Well, no, they don't. They're trying to get free. These are what the programs are. Try to get you free what you're free from. I want to tell you, once you get a revelation you are free, you ain't going to fight so much to try to get away from that thing. The struggle is people trying to, I'm trying to get free from this. See, I learned that in areas with healing. See, by His stripes I was healed. I'm not trying to get healed. I'm already healed. See, the fight's over now. The struggle has ended. Now it's just my faith taking a hold of that. Praise God. I have it. It belongs to me. See, when I found out about it, see, I was, the Lord said to me, after I got saved, He said, do you notice you don't have to drink anymore? See, I had a choice. I had a choice. I could leave it or have it. That was my choice now. See, I didn't have that choice. The drunk don't have the choice. When the devil holds you bound, you don't have that choice. It's, you're bound. That's what you are. And we're trying to stay away from it. And I have to go, you know, I have to make sure I get to the meetings and sit there with people and talk about the struggle of the week to try to stay away from drinking. I feel sorry for him. I was a drunk. I don't know if I'd have made it in one of those programs. I don't know if I would have. The struggle to stay away from it. Because after a while, you just get tired of fighting. But then I found out whom the Son sets free is free indeed. Hallelujah. And the Lord said to me, He said, do you notice you don't have to drink anymore? And I said, that is an awesome thing. Because see, I wasn't drinking. And He said, you notice you don't have to. See, all the time before, I had to. You watch how you talk about people doing what they do. You might be worse than they are. See, I think many Christians are bound in criticism of the sinner. They're bound in it. There is much bondage. It's like, you don't know what it is. If you don't know what it is, you haven't experienced it, then you don't know what it is. They're bound. You say, well, why don't you quit? They could look at you and say, well, why don't you? I understand. But Jesus will set them free. See, it's like Mario Murillo, that's what he's doing. He's setting people free through preaching Jesus Christ. He's telling them. You know, he don't save you and you just try to then down here trying to drag through life and get over your sin. Whom the Son sets free. And I want you to know that day. What are you dealing with? See, one thing is like Randy Greer said, you know, and he has a one series in How to Waste Your Time Praying. It's one of those things. See, you can pray and pray about something, but you need a revelation. See, the day you got saved, you were free of everything. Any problem that you have, you were set free from. The reason I study the Bible is to find out what I got. It's not. I'm not reading the Bible to try to find it that I can find some place so I can get free. No, I am free, but I need the revelation of what I'm free from. I need the revelation of what belongs to me. I need the revelation of what's mine. See, you need to understand. We're trying to get people to read the Bible, say to get them free, but that's not right. You are free. We find out about what I'm free from. And then when I find, dear Lord, God delivered me from, I'm delivered from that. Hallelujah. I've been redeemed from the curse of the law. I don't have to read the Bible to get redeemed the curse of the law, but I could read the Bible to find out what I've been redeemed from. Am I putting up with things that I've already been redeemed from? Am I putting up with it? See, we believe this in church world today. God leaves a few devils there to torment you. You know, that's the preaching of Paul. You know, Paul had to deal with the devil so he could stay humble. Well, I'm going to tell you, God don't have to give Christians devils to stay humble. My God, it ain't been working, and they got them. Oh, he's a good preacher. What do I got? Oh. See, you find out I'm free. See, get that in your mind. Say, I'm reading the Bible. I want to find out what I'm free from. If I'm free from it, let it become a reality. Whom the Son set free is free indeed. You have habits you don't like. I said, you have habits. People end up, they have habits. You know? See, whether it's smoking or anything like that, you find out I'm free. See, people try, well, I'm trying to quit smoking. I've had people tell me that, Christians. I'd say, well, next year you'll be trying to quit smoking. See, I get it. No, the Bible says you're free. See, you get over. I've done it with people already. You know, I always thought of the thing that Kenneth Copeland used to tell the story years ago, I heard. I mean, this is way long back, but he talked about a young man came to him and got saved and dealing with cigarettes. And he came to Kenneth Copeland's and said to him, he wanted to get free. And, you know, he's looking, you know, the idea, you know, pray for me and it'll just quit. But also Kenneth Copeland said, every time you smoke a cigarette, every time you light a cigarette, say, thank God I'm free of smoking. And the guy looked at him like, well, you're crazy, you know, don't do this. And he said, well, just do it. He said, just do it. See, first time they interrupted was the guy come back later, not too long later, came back to him and said, you know, I started doing that and it really seemed stupid. I'd go light a cigarette up and say, thank God I don't smoke anymore. Said, it really sounded dumb. But see, he said, all of a sudden, one day I went to light a cigarette and it just dawned on me. I don't smoke anymore. And he quit. He said, I ain't had a cigarette since. He said, it hadn't bothered me. See, he got a revelation. He kept saying it. See, people who keep, are in, well, you know, I just got a drinking problem or I got this problem. Well, you're always going to have it. You're going to have what you say. This is good preaching, folks. You have what you say. I got this problem. No, this is the problem I've been delivered from. But it looks like you have it. I don't care. I'm delivered from it. See, when people start to do that, to talk about what they're free from instead of talking what they're bound in. See, whom the Son set free is free indeed. Glory to God. I just thank you, God, that I'm free. I've seen it already. I've told people to do that already. People dealing with different problems. And I've told them already. You know, you need to start saying the right thing. That you're free from this thing. You're sitting over here praying, trying to ask God. And you ain't going to believe you're free until it shows up. And I say, ain't no faith in that at all. There's no faith in it whatsoever. Oh, God, help me. Oh, God, help me. Oh, God, help me. And he's saying, I'm trying to, knucklehead. See, start saying the right thing. The thing you need to deal with, start talking like you're free. Start talking. If there's a revelation you don't have, then you ask him to give you a revelation. But you ask him to set you free, that, well, what's he going to do? Jesus going to go to the cross again? I've said this many times. The worst thing to find out for a sinner is you go to hell when you die, and found out all your sins were forgiven. You're in hell not because of a sin problem. It's a Jesus problem. Nobody gets into heaven because sins are forgiven. You get to heaven because of Jesus. You receive Him, you get born again. See, we don't preach, you'll very seldom see today the term born again used. They don't talk about born again. That's what people need. Today it's all about getting your sins forgiven. I'm sorry, that's already been done. What you do is thank God that through Jesus took my sin. I'm not trying to get Jesus to forgive me. He did that on the cross. He didn't take some people's sin that day and others he didn't take. He took the sin of the whole world. Now what we do is you got to call on the name of the Lord. You need to be born again. That's what. And we've left. The church has left it. You hardly ever hear them talk about being born again anymore. Get your sins forgiven. Sorry. What you need is born. You need a changed life. That's why so many people come to Christ and never get a changed life. They never get free of anything because the freedom. When I got saved, the drunk died. The drunk died. No, we'll prop him up and keep him alive. With our confessions, you know. You get saved, but you're going to have this terrible battle. Well, you do have a battle from this stand. You got to fight the good fight of faith. It's a fight. Because you're going to be walking contrary to everything that goes on. Faith Faith isn't based on what anybody else said about a subject. It ain't faith isn't about what the doctor said about something. It's what Jesus said, what the Word says. That's it. Faith is based on, you're comparing that to whatever is out here, whatever else is said or done. You're in that comparison. What are you talking? What are you saying? The church is bound today because the church has declared its bondage. It doesn't make me more human to say that I'm less human because I'm free. And I don't join the club saying, yeah, well, I'm just like you are. And I'm just, no, I ain't. No, I'm a child of God. I say, you put your pants on less like everybody else. Yeah, but I don't put stupid on every day. My pants are to cover my butt, but you can't cover your stupidity. It keeps coming out of your mouth. They never made breeches that big. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You're the church of Jesus Christ and you've been made free. This free church needs to have laughter brought back to it again. It needs to have joy brought back to it again. It needs to proclaim Christ. Proclaim Christ. It'll bring joy to you. Hallelujah. You can't exalt that name without bringing joy to you. You can't do that. Everything in the church is founded in the authority of that name. Everything. We lay hands on people in that name. That's what we do. In the name of Jesus. We lay hands on people. This is why we do it. And we get on the area. I tell you what, we just need a spirit of boldness. We need God to reach forth His hand to heal. These are the things we need to pray for. God send laborers. Now we want anointed laborers. We want just like the 12 were sent and the 70 were sent. They went out with power to heal the sick. They went out with power. That's what we want. See, it'll make you bold. Those things happen. Those things take place. You get real bold. You just preach anywhere. See, when I was down in Peru, you had all those things going on. Man, you're just bold about preaching. Didn't give a rip what anybody said about anything. You just went on preach. Why? God's a moving. And one thing about the missionary understood there. He said, we're not going out to do all these different things. He said, right now, we're not trying. The number one thing he said, we're not trying is to hold teaching sessions for these people. Our number one thing, he said, this is harvest time. We're bringing the sinners in. He said, that's what we focus on. Much of the church world is going to want to teach them before they get saved. They're going to want to try to clean. They're going to do it. They're going to do it. They always do. We want to clean up their lives with the teaching, and then maybe we can get them saved. No, God will save them instead of the stupid people. He'll get them saved. Hallelujah. You say, well, they just don't act right. Well, you don't either, so get over it. You know, we've had years of teaching and still don't act right. So let's not get into fussing about that stuff. Hallelujah. Babies will act like babies. Get over it. We don't want babies in the church. But they're going to come. And what's going to be bad about it, the big babies that have been in the church for years are going to be the biggest squallers and ballers. They always are. The big babies are always the biggest squallers and ballers. They don't pay attention to me anymore. I got problems. And then, yeah, you got problems. And you're going to have them next week and next year and the year after and the year after and the year after. Yep. I've been around revivals, folks. I know what it gets like, and everybody thinks everything gets pretty. It don't. There's lots of wonderful things, but I'm going to tell you, it's like Brother Hagin said, don't worry about wildfire. There's enough wet blankets to put it out. Hallelujah. But I'm going to tell you what, they won't get this fire out. They ain't got enough wet blankets to put this thing out. Because there's people kind of going to come into the kingdom that are going to be so excited about Jesus. They'll be drowned out. They'll be drowned. And they'll just run off to their little religious junk. While the kingdom of God expands and the glory of God falls and Jesus returns. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. My God. Jesus is going to visit the pronoun people. And he will. He's going to visit. People are going to be shocked. People think, oh, it's just things are out there so far. No, they're not out there too. No, nothing's out there so far for Jesus. We limit things by the way we believe and see. And we got to get that place that sometimes, you know, is, Lord, I can't see that far, but you do it. You go ahead. I'm not going to go out there, you know. I'm not going to be a dam in the river. Hallelujah. People say, well, there's a lot of craziness. Every revival has people get into extremes. It's never not happened. During the charismatic renewal, you always had people get into extremes and stuff and do flaky things. There's always flaky people out there. There's always that. But you know, you not move. If we don't move with the flow of what God's doing, then we become part of that, even though we think, oh, we're right. We know all the doctrine. Well, the Pharisees knew the doctrine. They were just a big help to Jesus' ministry. Hallelujah. Thank God. We're not going to organize it. We're going to flow in it. If God can't make it work, He needs to get another job. Hallelujah. Let's stand to our feet. Glory to God. Father, I'm just so thankful, Lord God. Hallelujah. I'm so thankful. Lord, you know, Lord God, we as people, we prayed about these things and looked, Lord God, from the past, and we've desired and we've talked to you about these things. Hallelujah. And we looked. And Lord, we're in this day now. We're in this day and in, there's a flow. And Lord, Lord, there are many voices and there's many people, Lord God, even with among ones that have been your people. They're calling for us to tone it down. They're calling for us, you know. Oh, you know, we just got to keep everybody happy. And, you know, we're trying. Lord God, you know, they don't like the division of the time. But, Lord God, the Word speaks of the division of the time. But, Lord God, many are trying to start. They're trying to make everything happy for man. And, Lord God, there's no place for that. It's going to be. But, Lord, you've given us a job. You've given the church a job here. And that's to proclaim Jesus. And I'm so thankful for everybody and every ministry and every person that does it. Lord God, so thankful. So thankful. Lord God, you're sending people into the harvest. And I thank you, Father. Father, you know, just like our brother Mario, I just thank you, Lord God, that you've given a man a vision. And Lord God, Lord, he's a combine. In the places that people say, you know, it's too hard to reach, and he goes to the too hard to reach and reaches them. He goes to the places that are not comfortable, that are problems. But Lord God, he goes. And Lord God, your hand moves. Because Lord, he preaches your message. Jesus is Lord. Hallelujah. And I just want to thank you, Father God. Lord, I thank you for the inspiration that we get from these people, Lord God. Hallelujah. That shows us that truly the fields are white to harvest. Lord God, we can sit around. Lord, there's people, they want answers, and they don't want a religious answer. They're not looking for a religion. Lord God, people want free. And Father, we know there's many voices calling out in our country telling the church to shut up and get out. Lord, there's many voices. But Lord God, I understand. I understand the heathen. I understand their rage. Lord God, I was a heathen, had that rage. Lord God, I know what it's like. I know what it's like. Lord, when you ain't heard, and many of them, I've heard so many Christian lies, so many gospels that weren't true. Like I heard, Lord, gospels that weren't true. And Lord God, you gave me the wonderful opportunity to hear the true gospel. Lord God, it changed my life. The power of that gospel revolutionized my life. And I want to thank you, Lord God. It's the gospel of Jesus Christ. And Father, just in the same way we stand to you today, Lord God, we hear them raging. We hear them saying, Lord, we know their destiny if they don't change. But Father, there's one thing as I look in the book of Acts, and it tells us in the book of Acts that many of the priests accepted Christ. Many of the priests did. Lord, the ones who stood against, many of them accepted. Hallelujah. Because of what these people moved and what they prayed. And Lord God, we just stand, but we hear their rage. We hear what they're saying. But Lord, you're laughing, so we ain't going to whine about it at all. Hallelujah. Because Lord, you're so much bigger than all this that's going in here of man. And there's nothing bigger than your Son who has been enthroned in heaven, Lord of heaven and earth. And Lord God, we pray today, Lord God, we pray for boldness to speak your word. And we ask you, just as they did, to reach forth your hand to heal, that signs and wonders are done in that wonderful name of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Father, that's what we want. Lord, that's our great desire, is to have that. Father God, for your word has to go forth. And I want to thank you, Father God. If we ask, you said, if we ask for something, we're supposed to believe we receive it and we'll have it. So I believe we receive it. I believe we have boldness in the name of Jesus. And I believe you're reaching forth your hand to heal, then that signs and wonders are done in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. So I thank you, Lord. I thank you, Father God, what we ask for, you're responding to in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. So I thank you. Father, I also pray today, Lord God. Lord, I want to thank you. I pray, Lord God, what you had me speak at the end. And Lord God, that was your working concerning whom the Son sets free is free indeed. Lord God, anybody, whatever they might be dealing with, whatever might be happening, Lord God, I pray that they get a revelation today that they're free in the name of Jesus. That they are free. You didn't leave that thing a bondage there. They are free. Lord God, I pray today, Lord God, that they get that revelation that they're not trying to get away from that. Hallelujah. You set them free of it, Lord God. And they receive that today. Hallelujah. Father God, to walk in the light of that today. Hallelujah. That would become their voice concerning that situation, that they're free. They're free in the name of Jesus, and whom the Son set free is free indeed. Hallelujah. Father, they're redeemed from the curse of the law. Hallelujah. Oh, Lord God Jesus, you were made a curse for us to deliver us. Surely we should preach your name. Hallelujah. Surely we should preach your name. So I thank you. I thank you today, Lord God, for all the wonderful, wonderful, wonderful things, Lord God. Hallelujah. That you have set ahead for the church in this revival last days. Lord God, of all that we're going to see come into the kingdom. The flow, Lord God. Lord, as you spoke to me concerning this valley, you said that they would come from the north, the south, the east, and the west. That they would come to the light of God. And Lord God, it's your light. It's not our light. It's your light. Hallelujah. The light we got is yours. Hallelujah. But they're coming from the light. Lord God, you're drawing. You're drawing. Hallelujah. Oh, Lord, I thank you. Lord God, people are being drawn by the droves to the gospel of Jesus Christ. Lord God, there's an awakening, a rising up, hallelujah, that is already going on, Lord God. Hallelujah. It's increasing and increasing and increasing and increasing. Lord God, we're all going to walk into circumstances and places, Lord God, that people are going to be crying for light. People are going to be crying for light. They're going to be calling out. Lord God, we won't be looking for opportunity. Opportunity will find us. Opportunity will come to us. Hallelujah. Because these are the days of harvest. Men are looking. Men are straining to see. And they can't. They're not looking on religion anymore. They're looking. They want something that's alive and something that's real. They need help. Hallelujah. And Lord God, you're the helper. Hallelujah. Jesus, you're the helper. You're the greatest helper there ever was. Hallelujah. Lord, you take those who are in bondage, those that have been pressed down, those, Lord God, are under the greatest weight of sin. And Lord God, in an instant you take it off. Hallelujah. As they call on your name. I thank you, Father God. They're coming in and coming in and coming in. And we thank you, Father God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord God, for these last days that we get to be a part in your kingdom. Hallelujah. To work and labor together. Hallelujah. For the great harvest of the earth. We thank you for it, Father. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Amen.